When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, September 3rd. Happy 59th anniversary to my parents. God rest my mom. Still miss her to this day. Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. And let's get started with our tip-off top. It's episode 176 with Jeremy Lin retires from basketball. And I want to kind of take you back down memory lane here as a long-time Knick fan. And when you think about the Knicks and how bad they were after Patrick Ewing left, the Knicks had traded for Carmelo Anthony the year before. And, I mean, they were, you know, decent. And it's the 2011-2012 season. Carmelo Anthony is out. The Knicks aren't playing well. And they sign a guy out of Harvard to a 10-day contract. They sign him to a second one. So now the Knicks have to decide if they're going to keep Jeremy Lin for the rest of the year. Now, I'm not sure if it could have been Kenny Atkinson, who was the player development guy, assistant coach for Mike D'Antoni. But someone went to D'Antoni and said, you got to play this kid. And I remember watching this game on a Saturday night. The Knicks win 99-92, and Jeremy Lin goes for 25 points, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds. And I'm like, who in the hell is this kid? But damn, that was exciting to watch. So then he went against Darren Williams 2 days later on the 8th. And what did he do? 28-8-2. Knicks win. Then they go to Washington, 23-10. And then he dunked it. People are like, and the boy got hops too? But then came the game. I still remember this to this day. I coached a high school basketball game. February 10th, Friday night MSG, Friday night Knicks. And it's Kobe. Kobe comes to town. They talk to him about who this Jeremy Lin guy. And Kobe literally is like, I don't know who this kid is. And then the game. 38 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, and a huge 92-85 win over the Lakers, where Jeremy Lin literally almost blew out the guard. And then, you know, 2 games later, was the Toronto game. It was like, I think it was like Asian Appreciation Night. Knicks are down, I think by three, or by, I think by three. Shumpert gets a dunk. Knicks down one. The Knicks miss. Jeremy Lin has the ball. Late shot clock. And he waves off Amari Stoudemire, who at that point was almost getting 30 a night. And he slow walks, I want to say Jose Calderon, and bangs a three. Let me tell you something. That Lin sanity from like the 3rd of February, then there was the Sunday game against Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Kidd, when he had 28 and 14, until about when Carmelo came back on Monday the 20th. That run of Linsanity was the best, most exciting basketball as a Knicks fan this century until you got to Jalen Brunson and what they did. So Jeremy Lin is not Jalen Brunson. He's not Carmelo Anthony. He's not Amari Stoudemire. He's not Tyson Chandler. He's not J.R. Smith. I'm just giving you guys that he played with. I don't even know he's better than Steve Novak. But I'll tell you this much. That 2.5, 3-week stretch was some of the most exciting basketball that this city has seen until JB and that crew came along. Shout out and congratulations to Jeremy Lin on his retirement. Let's stay in the NBA. Another team that Jeremy Lin played for, I do believe, Charlotte Hornets, who has hired Kyle Neptune to be an assistant coach. And people are wondering, like, what? Kyle, by the way, Kyle Neptune did a really good job during, I think it was the NCAA tournament as an analyst. And Kyle, knowing the Villanova people, Kyle is a sharp guy. I think he'll do well on Charles Lee's staff. I just think the job at Nova may have been too big for him, and or he didn't have maybe the right experienced guys as assistants. He kept the Villanova way. Kyle Lowry is now the assistant coach of the Charlotte Hornets. And obviously, we know that Kevin Willard is the new head coach of Villanova as they try to, I don't want to say bring back attitude and tradition, almost establish a new era of Villanova basketball now that the whole staff and Kyle are gone, so there's no holdovers from Jay Wright's staff. Let's continue on in the NBA with Thanasis Antetokounmpo signed a one-year, $2.9 million deal to return to the Bucks. Remember, this is about one thing. It's about Giannis. And they have to make Giannis happy, because they don't want to make him mad. So having Thanasis there, his brother there, should make Giannis feel happier. The thing is, it's a one-year deal. And I'm still telling you, if it goes south there, he's going to ask out. Stay tuned to what happens in Milwaukee. In regards to injuries, Jared McCain, it looks like he's going to be ready to go when training camp opens for the Philadelphia 76ers. You got to remember, Jared McCain was doing a great job, probably was going to win Rookie of the Year until his left knee meniscus injury. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Philadelphia. I think you can look at Jared McCain to be Sixth Man of the Year award winner, because I think they're going to start Tyrese Maxey and VJ Edgecombe in the starting lineup for a Philadelphia team that we will preview in our award tour next as we look at their win totals. Let's head to the W. What's going on with Caitlin Clark? She's back to playing 5-on-0. Yay! Caitlin Clark is now playing 5-on-5. Boo! That's the problem. Caitlin Clark is not playing 5-on-5. And until she goes through, to me as a coach, almost a week of practice, 5-on-5, full court, being hit and being bumped, she's not coming back. So the wonder is do they try and get her back from the playoffs, or do they shut it down? I'm going to tell you this. I think they're going to be really, really quiet about this, because the last thing the league needs to hear is Caitlin Clark being out for the season. Speaking of the season, what in the heck has gotten to the New York Liberty? A team that started 9-0, just last night scored, ready for this, 58 points in a 66-58 loss to the Valkyries. This team is a hot mess. Stewie's shooting her worst three-point shooting percentage of her career. Sab is not scoring the three-point line as well as she usually does. Jonquel Jones, Messaman, is not working out. Clout, good, bad. They missed Benagelani and Hamilton. But I'm going to say this, folks. If the Liberty get knocked out, if they get knocked out in the first round of playoffs, and right now they're the five seed in the WNBA playoffs, you will see, possibly, Sandy Bordello go from being a championship coach to a fired coach. Coming up next, we'll get into our award tour, going back to the Eastern Conference. We'll take a look at the Philadelphia 76ers, we'll take a look at the Toronto Raptors, and we'll look at the Washington Wizards as we come back on our award tour after this commercial break. Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 176, and it's time to get into our award tour as we break down future markets. As we continue, I think finish our award tour in regards to the Eastern Conference, let's first take a look at an intriguing team in the Philadelphia 76ers. The Philadelphia 76ers team whose win total is at 42.5, minus 235 to make the playoffs, plus 172 to miss. 14-1 to win the Eastern Conference, 40-1 to win the NBA championship. And you're looking at a team that went 24-58 last year, and you're like, why is it so high? Well, folks, Joel Embiid only played 19 games. Tyrese Maxey only played 52. Paul George played 41. Quentin Grimes, they got in a trade last year. Jared McCain, we just talked about it. He's going to come back for probably sort of preseason training camp. Only played in 23 games. So where is my thought process? Folks, I'm going over 42.5 on Philadelphia. And here is why. If this team can stay somewhat healthy, and I think this year is so big for them because I think if things go off the rails again, I think trades are going to be made. Guys are going to be gone. If you close your eyes and say, if I get 65 games out of Tyrese Maxey, 75 out of VJ Edgecombe, 60 out of Paul George, 65 out of Joel Embiid, you tell me that team can't win 42.5 games? Now, they have some guys that are obviously gone. Yabusele left. You know, obviously in free agency. You know, but they bring guys like Kelly Oubre that I'm big on. Obviously, they have to get the Grimes situation handled. But I look at this team and I just think there's too much talent. There's too much talent on this roster. It's about one word. It's about health. Can they stay healthy? I'm going to say it like this. Either the Philadelphia 76ers are going over 42.5 wins, or some combination of Nick Nurse, of, you know, Daryl Morey are gone, and they're blowing up the roster. Probably can't get rid of Paul George. They can't get rid of his contract. So maybe Paul has a good year, then maybe they can move him. Joel Embiid? Possibly. Tyrese Maxey? Young, can bring you a lot back. Not out of the question. But I'm more bullish on this team than other people. Give me over 42.5 wins for the Philadelphia 76ers. Speaking of an intriguing team, let's get to Toronto. A Toronto Raptors team that won 30 games last year. Their over-under win total is 37.5. Now you start looking at this team and you run into the same issues. RJ Barrett missed about 23, 24 games. Scotty Barnes missed about 17. Emmanuel Quickley missed almost 50. Jakob Poeltl missed about 25. Grady Dick missed about almost 30, right? So you look at this team, you're like, here's another team that's interesting. So where do you bet them? If you think they're going to go over 37.5 wins, and their win total is 37.5, plus 116 to make the playoffs, minus 158 to miss, and I'm not even getting to the Eastern Conference odds and so on and so forth, because that ain't going to happen. You got to also remember, they got Brandon Ingram. So close your eyes and you go Emmanuel Quickley, RJ Barrett, Scotty Barnes, Brandon Ingram, Jakob Poeltl, Grady Dick off the bench. Can that team win? Agbaji off the bench. Right? What could they make a run? Remember, they got the kid, Akalem Murray-Boyles from South Carolina, who I think is going to be intriguing at the next level. This is one of these tough ones where I'm like, there's so many ways that you can do this. But hear me out for a second. Cleveland, Boston, New York, Indiana, I said Detroit, Orlando, Atlanta. See, now it gets tricky because now you're like, who makes the playoffs, right? Because I think Philadelphia makes in. So I think the better play is I think they squeak over 37.5 wins, and that's where I'm going. Over 37.5 wins for the Toronto Raptors. So that's two overs, right? Am I going to have three? Oh, God, no. Pull up the Washington Wizards. 21.5 wins. They had 18 last year. 28-1 to make the playoffs. Minus 50K to miss the playoffs. I mean, no, obviously they're missing it. And 50K to, I don't even know even why I'm talking about this. Folks, this team is going to be bad. And they're going to tank. Because don't sell me on, you know, the veteran guys. CJ McCollum, Chris Middleton, Kelly Olynyk. Don't sell me on those guys. This is about the development of Bilal Coulibaly. It's about the development of Bud Carrington. It's about the development of Trey Johnson, a rookie. And this is about this team being really, really bad. Really, really, really bad. Oh, I forgot about, obviously, the second-year guy, Alex Saar. It's amazing that a team is going to have 21.5 wins as a win over-under win total. But I'm taking it. Under 21.5 wins. I think the Wizards, I think the Jazz we'll talk about, and I think the Nets are going to be god-awful, and they want A.J. DiBanza. Coming up next, we'll get into our Western Conference side. We'll look at Sacramento, we'll look at San Antonio, and we'll look at Utah after this commercial break. Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 176. And it's time to get into our awards, our Western Conference, as we wrap up the last three teams in the West. And let's start with Sacramento, a team that you guys know on this, that's listened to this podcast and watched, and I've been extremely high on for a couple of years. Well, Coach Dunn jumped off the ship. Sacramento Kings, win total of 34.5. To make the playoffs, they're at plus 370. The Mr. Playoffs is 6-1. Western Conference, don't worry about it. NBA, don't even think about it. Why am I off with the Kings? Because I look at this roster, and I just don't know where they're going. Number one, I've never been a big Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan fans together in Chicago. So why am I going to like it in Sacramento? I love Domantas Sabonis as an offensive threat. I don't think he stops enough people on the defensive end of the floor. I want to see the development of Keegan Murray. I want to see the development of Devin Carter. But the biggest problem they made is they got rid of Mike Brown. And don't give me this, here goes coach and Nick fan. Go back and watch the videotape and look at my reaction when they fired Mike Brown, which I thought was a disgrace. Nothing against Doug Christie. But I can't get behind this team. There's too many teams that are better than them in the West. Going under 34.5 wins for the Sacramento Kings. Let's get to San Antonio. Win total 43.5. Minus 154 to make playoffs. Plus 116 to miss. 35-1 to win the Western Conference. 65-1 to win the NBA Championship. There's always going to be a team that kind of jumps. Is this the jump? Is this what we've been waiting for? Number one, we just need Victor Wembanyama to be healthy. Victor Wembanyama, when he's playing, I think is right now a top 10 basketball player in the world. It's a development of Stephon Castle in year two. It's having guys like Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson. I think maybe Keldon Johnson can move eventually. It's Ken, De'Aaron Fox, who basically forced his way to go to San Antonio, step up and lead. And then they have Dylan Harper, who is probably going to be a sixth man. Pop is gone, which people may think is going to be a bad thing. And I love Pop. I love this team. I love this team, and I love this kid. I'm going over 43.5. With San Antonio. So if we ended the East with the worst team in the East, let's bring in the worst team in the West, and that's the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz that's not tanking. Over under 18.5 wins. Plus 7,000 to make the playoffs. There isn't even odds to miss the playoffs. They're so bad. A Utah Jazz team that Danny Ainge told you, we're not tanking. We're not tanking. We're not tanking. And then Colin Sexton got traded. And then John Collins got traded. I'm waiting for Lauri Markkanen to get traded. And Jordan Clarkson, they just let him go. Yeah, they got some kids like Keontae George, Isaiah Collier, Lauri Markkanen, but they're just bad. I don't even want to talk about them anymore. Get them out of the screen. Under 18.5 wins for your touchdowns. I said it, under 18.5. Let's get to the buzzer beater. I got about 45 seconds because I think this is important. The look after the WNBA draft is going to be really fantastic. Remember, folks, it is your winning percentage over the last 2 years. So right now, here's how it gets funny. The best odds are with Dallas. Chicago is the second pick. Oh, no. Sorry. That pick goes to Minnesota. Sparks have the third best odds. Oh, no. That goes to Seattle. Washington 4 and Connecticut, number 5, their pick goes to Chicago. Why is this interesting? Remember these names. AZ Fudd, Olivia Miles, Lauren Betts. Depending on who wins that lottery, that's going to depend on who goes one. If Washington wins, it's Fudd. She's from the area. If Dallas wins, they're going to bring Fudd to play with, obviously, Paige. If Minnesota wins, I think they go Miles with the point. If Seattle wins, they go with Miles. And the same thing with Chicago. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for September 3rd. For all things sports gambling, download the Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more. For my producer, Matty George, who always does a great job, thanks for listening, folks. And always remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.